Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson here with Power AfterBuzz TV for season 5, episode 6, titled A Change Man. So first question we have is, Tariq is now selling pills to white kids at school. Second topic, so does Ghost really have a newborn soul? Third topic, so actor Richard Ryker is here, who plays the character of Steve Tapio, and he joins us live, and we just want to ask him some questions, like, where did he come from? Is he a part of the Jimenez cartel? Does he love Angela? We're going to ask all those questions right now. Drop it. Let's go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I'm going to need that time back.
Okay.
Hey, Mercury is in retrograde.
Just want to put that out there. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Again, this is Bam Erickson, and I would like to introduce the panel.
Hey, I'm Jill Monroe.
Hey, everybody. I am Robin Ayers, and I'm so happy that we have a very special guest in the building, you guys. And we've got a live chat, so we want to hear what you guys have to say about our guest. You know him on Power as Steve Tapio, but his name is Richard Ryker, and we've got him right here on Skype with us. How are you doing, Richard?
What up? Can you hear us?
I think we're having technical difficulties.
Hey, Richard, can you hear us? Hello, Richard. Hello, can you hear us?
Okay. Okay, it's just pretty low.
It's pretty low for some reason, but let's... All right, now say something. Speak again.
Okay. Now
okay. A little bit better, but we want to thank you for... Oh, boy.
Of course. Really glad to have you on.
Yeah.
I think it might be his.
There's a really bad connection.
Okay.
All right, there it is. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
About that.
All right, so thank you so much for joining us via Skype in New York. We just have some questions for you. So your character literally came out of the blue, and the first time that we saw you, your character bumped into Angela. She dropped some papers, and we noticed the first thing that you did was you looked at the papers that was on the floor. So what's your intentions? What's going on with Steve?
Because he seems a little tricky.
Okay. I kind of saw that from the Twitter feedback from the first episode. A lot of people were talking about how shady the character is. Or how shady he might be. When she dropped the paperwork, I was just very interested in what it was she was looking into.
Mm-hmm.
You guys recall the business card that I give her.
Yeah.
It says my name on it. It says my position.
Yeah.
And it's Director of Public Enrichment. And then she asked me what it is that I do. And if you recall, I say I'm just a shadowy figure that lurks in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's about as much as the audience needs to know for now.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Needs to know.
Well, with that being said, KennyKenny757 on Instagram, he wants to know, he says, I don't believe he's either in the cartel, but maybe not necessarily in the cartel, but he's under the thumb of someone, and he is trying to figure out, along with other people, where is the connection, because we found it very odd that you came in and you literally deaded Angela from being able to do the questioning to Alicia Jimenez.
You're chopping up the last thing I heard was that I gutted Angela.
Okay, so what I was saying was. Wait, I'm trying to figure out this. I'm trying to figure out the static. Engineer, can you speak and let us know this? Okay. So in the meantime, I'll just.
Well, we've got some people in the chat room, Richard. If you can hear me, okay. And someone actually they brought.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know. It's an interesting point. Michelle Elliott says she believes that Steve is Sandoval's revenge.
Ooh.
That's a good one. Look at that face.
Oh,
look at that
face. Right?
No. I'm not.
No, I know.
I'm not commenting or affirming anything or confirming anything, but you have to understand when you get hired to do a role as an actor and they give you a script. Mm-hmm. You do what's called a script breakdown. You break down the script and the wording and basically everything that all the dialogue that the characters say to clue you in to what the character's personality is, what their background is, what their motives are. And if you recall, can you guys hear me?
Wait. Can you do us a favor? Maybe it's possibly your headphones that's maybe making the noise. Is there a way that you can
bring it to the front
or something? Maybe that's because we're still trying to figure out why.
Can you the
microphone piece.
The microphone piece may be the it may be moving.
That's.
Okay.
Oh, that was.
Yeah, that.
That's it.
Is that better?
Oh, yes. All right. Now we're talking.
Now we can talk.
All right. Okay. So you were saying as an actor with the script, go ahead.
Yeah, that basically you do what's called the script breakdown, or you break down the text and you read the dialogue and the directions in between the dialogue that's written on the script, so that it clues you into the storyline. Because I came in the fifth season. I came in. The third episode of the fifth season, so and to be quite honest, I hadn't seen every episode in the show, so it clued me in as to what the character's motivation is, particularly in the situation that he was in when he bumped into Angela, and then in the fourth episode when he came in and he released Diego and Alicia, and the dialogue itself will clue you guys in the audience members as to what his motivation is when he was having the conversation in the interrogation room with Alicia. He tells her, you know, she says, you have the gold gun that was in the stash house, if you recall,
mm-hmm.
That he used to kill that dude with. I tell her, I'm like, that's when I figure something out. I'm like, wait a minute. You planted the gun in the stash house, the golden gun in the stash house. You try to have your own brother set up. And then she's like, yeah, listen, just take him out and let me be in charge because, you know, you can't leave a power vacuum. You need somebody in charge. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
You're good. Yeah.
Okay. So I say, I can't take him out. He's the face of your cartel. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I take him out, it's gonna leave some sort of power vacuum where there's gonna be wars and countless bodies, etc. So the best thing to do at that moment was for my character. It came from the higher ups. Was for my character to release them. And if you recall, when Angela confronts me in the hallway after I present them the paperwork. That tells them, listen, my pay grade is way above yours. It's way above your pay grade. This matter goes way above your pay grades. And they're like, how far up? You know, is it CIA? Are you like, you know, they're like, are you like deep state? What are you? And I'm like, there's no need to discuss that right now. Angela confronts me in the hallway and I tell her, listen, all you had was a stash box and a tangential connection to a stash box and a gun. That's not enough.
Your position, because I am a little unclear your position. So can you kind of give us what is your position and how much higher? Because, I mean, for your character to be able to come in and just take so much control, I'm a little unclear in regards to who the hell are you?
Okay. I'm going to share with you as much as is allowed.
Okay.
That I'm allowed to share, and as much as I know I'm allowed to share. My character is up there amongst like CIA, FBI. You know, his office is in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like Director of Public Enrichment is perhaps a professional way of covering up what he really is, what his real position is. He's some sort of cleanup guy. He's some sort of
fixer.
Shadowy figure that lurks in the background and doing
right.
work, you know? I'm taking the orders from the higher ups that are real, real, real high up.
And so does that explain why you say no audio?
Why what?
So does that explain why you said no audio when you
unplugged the cameras?
When you unplugged the cameras.
Because the conversation was off the record.
Right. So now, you guys notice that every little tidbit, the show is so well written.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is a big up to the writers. You know, I had such a pleasure working on it because it's so well written. Everything means something. That's good writing. You know, there's so much subtext.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, the first thing he does was unplug the camera. Put his coat down because he got to make sure he's neat. I got to make sure everything's unwrinkled, and then he sits down and he unplugs the mic.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they start talking. And Alicia says, and she knows it because, listen, she's the head of a cartel, right, with her brother. She knows the deal. You don't get that far up in that business unless you have connections, unless you know the deal, unless you know something. Because if not, you're not going to make it. You
right.
won't make it past nickel and diamond.
Right.
Okay? So she knew that. He's like, you're here to release me. And then I tell her, what makes you think I'm here to release you? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, because I want to know how much she really knows, and I want to play with her. I don't like her. I said, if it was up to me, I'd lock you up right now. I said it right there when my character was sitting at the desk. I tell her, if it was up to me, I'd lock you up right now. I want nothing more than to put you away. That's right. What I said. Okay, so the audience should know from that, and should be able to tell from that what my relation to Alicia Jimenez or what my idea of her. And her type is based upon that dialogue. And so I feel like the guy, I feel like he's out for justice, but he also has to follow orders. He has to release him. It wasn't his will. It wasn't his anything. Somebody that's a higher up, that's his superior, told him he's got to do that and gave him the paperwork and the jurisdiction to do so.
So the question that we have is, will this be revealed by the end of this season? You know, who you're working for? What you do.
That means yes.
I cannot. Just for the sake of definitely having you guys enjoy the show 1,000%.
Right.
You know what I mean? Watch the show. Part of the allure of wanting to watch is wanting to know what happens next. So I wouldn't clue you in into anything that's going to happen, except to tell you that I guess you'll get a little more clarity.
Okay.
But you got to tune in to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's fair. Okay. That's fair. We're going to leave you alone about that.
Right.
And then just two more questions. So can you give us anything in regards to your relationship with Angela? So you were texting her a lot once that incident happened. And so was that kind of like playing the game, or what's your intentions? Do you really like her? Angela? You can't.
Once again, from the dialogue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay, final question is, can you tell
us? No, I'll tell you. I'll answer that.
Oh.
Like, my character really likes her because he told her himself. He said, listen, I haven't stopped thinking about you since the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he tells her that when she confronts him in the hallway. Did you use me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I was like, I haven't stopped thinking about you since the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sincere.
Okay.
You know, he didn't stop thinking about it. And then he says, Do you think I needed to use you? If I had the power to do what I just did,
mm-hmm.
really think I need to use you?
Yeah.
Nah, he really liked her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. He cares about her a lot.
Okay. Okay, and then
he's got that charm. She's got that thing. That je ne sais quoi.
And then one other thing is, how did you hear about this role? What was it like? I mean, did you just audition? Were you called in? What happened? How did you hear about this role and get it?
That's a good question. That's appearing into the business. I'm represented by an agency here that's bi-coastal. They have offices here in New York and in L.A., BRS Gage. And I've been signed with them for about a year and a half. And they send me out on auditions. And, you know, you put your best foot forward and you try to nail every single. You don't try. You nail every single one. And then after that, it's up to casting directors. Whether they like you, they'll call you back. I auditioned for the casting director for the show, Christine Cromer. And about a month later, I got an audition from her again with the same sides. And I could have sworn, I was like, I could have sworn I auditioned for the same role, the same dude. And then I went back and I did. I had no idea it was a callback. And then about a week and a half after that, I get the call from my agent saying that I booked the role.
Nice.
Very nice. It was great, great news. I was really excited because I'm a big fan of 50s, you know, Curtis. And I know the show's big and I appreciate everybody's talent on the show. So yeah, it was really nice news. It was a blessing.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, we wish as viewers, and I'm sure a lot of the other viewers wish that we see more of you. We hope to see more because you add a different dynamic. It's very strange. I can't read you personally. I don't know how to read your character. You seem a lot different than him in real life. And so, but you know, we're just hoping to see more and where that all unfolds. So congratulations on the role.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's all. That's absolutely up to the writers and up to the producers of the show. And whatever helps make the story more live and the show more interesting, I'm absolutely down. You know, the work in this season was in episode 3-4. My character will be in episode 7 and in the season finale as well. So,
okay.
And, cool. Yeah. I wanted the character to reflect that shadowy figure thing. You know, he is secretive. You don't know where he's coming from, and I feel like that adds texture to the show. It's fun.
Thank you so much for joining us. And now that we at least know that you have some breathing room, that you'll be back. So we want to thank you, and we hope that we can chat with you again. And if you're here in LA, please come into the studio live, and you know we can chat some more. Thank you. Let everyone know where you can be found on social media.
Yeah, my Instagram tag is RICHRYKER. It's my name, Rich Ryker. I don't really use Twitter a lot, but you can find me as Richard Ryker. And on Facebook, Richard Ryker Actor. But, just Instagram really is the place, the thing that I use the most. I love photos. So.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
Well, great having you on. Thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
It was fun.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. See you later.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right.
So yeah, I think that he is a part of the government's cartel mission. But really quickly, you know, the government's always involved. So real quick, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and we need your help. Every week we want you in the comments giving thumbs up on YouTube, 5 stars on iTunes. That's where you can find us. We are on the Drama Channel, so make sure you are subscribing so you know when we have amazing guests and hot shows every week. And we appreciate it, and thank you. Let's talk about the show now.
All right, Sue. This season, everyone is joining secret alliances with other people to save their asses as everyone's head is on the chopping block. So this season, Ghost has been called selfish. He thinks about himself throughout the season. And people like Tommy, Tasha, Tariq, and now Proctor all says that he is selfish. So is Ghost selfish? Does he only think of himself?
He's selfish in that way that sometimes men are when they think, I'm thinking of the family, but that starts with me. Mm-hmm. And he thinks about the other people in terms of pieces and that he knows what's best for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because that's his nature. You know, being selfish is his nature. But right now, it's for a good reason. But it's still looked at as it's all about you. You get what I'm saying? So I just think it's a little ironic.
Yeah, I don't think he's selfish. I think he cares for everyone, and I think that's always been his job. You know, whenever Tommy's in trouble, he has to protect Tommy. When there's problems with Tasha, like that's what he does. He protects, and he always makes sure that he looks out for people.
Yes, I agree with that, but I do think that there's a little spin on it because whenever Tommy's in trouble or something like that, Ghost is at the end of the day, he's like, okay, I got to help you because if they are onto you, it's going to be onto me. Right. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. And I do think that he has a heart for people, but I think that there's always like a little smidgen of like himself looking for himself.
I see that, but only reason that I disagree is because their system, their McDonald's. Did you guys notice that Tommy and Teresi was eating McDonald's? They're a system. And so when you have a system, you have to make sure that everything all works. But anyway, let's go to Ghost, Angela, and Tasha. So we open up where we left off in episode 5, Ghost and Angela. Ghost is at Angela's. Ghost has his newborn soul. He wants to change. He tells her that he left her not because of family or Tasha, but because he had to protect her because someone wanted to kill her. So the next morning, Tasha arrives to prep for questions when she is brought in regarding the gun, potentially the weapon that she used to kill Raymond Jones. And then voila, Tasha, Angela, and Ghost are in the same room.
Hilarious.
I mean, for me, like, I love that scene just because, one, Ghost was messed up. He was clueless. And I like seeing him a little off his game and not realizing that Angela and Tasha have been working together to hold this down and keep it together while you've been off twisting and spinning, thinking that you have everything under control. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll get to my favorite part of that scene.
Yeah,
in a second.
He always, Jill, like, you're right. Ghost literally always knows what's up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he just knows what's up. He's 10 steps ahead of everybody. So it's interesting that this episode, mm-hmm. specifically in this season, we're seeing that he's just not really himself, his normal Ghost. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that we're seeing him transition into himself.
Yes.
So when he finds out what's going on and that Tasha told Angela everything, the first thing he wanted to do was inform Proctor.
Because that's the lawyer, so he wants to make sure that they're mm-hmm. covered, but they've already covered that basis, you know? Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a second. So Ghost finally talks to Tasha. He admits his faults. Then it goes bad because he says he feels like it's Raina's fault that she's dead. And then Tasha says, it's all about you. All right, so now, before I drag Tasha, hit it. Because she was wrong.
I did think in that moment that she, but it's coming from everything else. Like her seeing Ghost at Angela's, I think she felt like, typical. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, this is what you do. You're just out here doing the same thing. So she's viewing everything that he does from a lens of he's being selfish. She wouldn't let me go get help. You know? Mm. So she's focusing on that aspect when in this moment, because he talked to the Reverend, he has an open heart a bit about things. So Ghost thought he was trying to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And Tasha's like, no, you're just trying to make yourself a victim.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think in relationships, there comes moments when you know and understand the difference and the sincerity of someone. Tasha saw that when he started speaking. The reaction of her face says, wow, I believe him. Mm-hmm. Then she got into her feelings because she is in her feelings about other stuff that we'll get to in a second. But mm-hmm. I think that she's the one, you know, this was the moment where finally he talks, he breaks down, he does all what she's been asking for, mm-hmm. and then you get into your feelings, and then all of a sudden you flip it.
It's really not that simple. Uh-huh. It's not that simple as to say, okay, this is what you've been waiting for this whole time. Now the man is telling you the truth, but she's in her feelings because she has every right to be in her feelings at this point. Like, he even said, he was like, he apologized for everything that he's done. He understands. Okay. Well, he understands mm-hmm. that he's put her through so much. And, you know, likewise, I'm not negating whatever she's done because mm-hmm. I know your drag session wants to continue, Bam. But what I'm saying is that she has a right to be in her feelings. You ever hear that meme that says basically like catch me while I care, because once I don't, like, it's F mm-hmm. you forever kind of deal. That's where she is. Like she was trying, and so when she told Angela back in the apartment, she's like, I really don't care. Like, I'm being honest with you. I really don't care if you guys are still sleeping together or not. Mm-hmm. She's in that mode. And that's the moment that you don't want to ever have a woman be in.
Because it's a wrap. Side note, shout out to Marcus Bevel in the chat who hurt you, because you're always angry. He's really on your side, ma'am. He agrees with everything that you're saying about Tasha, so please.
I mean, listen, Tasha,
they are going in it. That's good. Shout out to y'all in the chat room. Yes.
Tasha said kill Dre, kill who you need to kill. He wasn't able, like, he's doing all of what he's doing. He's doing all of what, you know, what he can. I just need them to talk and communicate. But then if they talk and communicate, we wouldn't really have, we wouldn't have all this.
For sure. Yeah. And I want to be clear about this. As Ghost, I like Ghost as a person.
Yeah.
So when I look at him, aside from, you know, him and Tasha, when I look at Ghost and I see him sort of like pleading his case and he's getting emotional and he's just trying to tell his wife, like, listen, I apologize and all that. Me as a person, I'm like, yeah, like, I get it, Ghost. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you do deserve to be forgiven and all of those things. But when I look at Tasha, it's like what Courtney said. Everyone is right. That's right. In the scene. Yeah, everyone is right, because Tasha is also right.
Yeah. So before we move on, so do you guys feel like Ghost really does have a newborn soul, or do you feel...
I think so.
I think he does. I think that it's just the evolution of everything that he's been through, all the hurt that he's, you know, gone through, and he's trying to right the wrongs that he can while still maintaining what it is, what the situation is.
And I also think that, you know... kind of like with Christians, when they find religion, they tend to get a little like holy roly real quick. You have to
real churchy.
Yeah, you have to show that you have a newborn, so you can't just say it.
Which is what he told Angela. Yeah, so yeah. I think that that's to come.
Yeah, agree. So now, what are your thoughts on how Tasha handled herself during the questioning? Blanca says to Tasha, no, we haven't met, to which I found...
why that was a lie.
Why did she lie? So anyway, she's offered full immunity if she gives up Angela and James. What's your thought on how she handled it?
Once again, it kind of reminded me of what Courtney said, that, you know, well, we know more, but the actors and the characters don't know more. I think Blanca kind of suffers from the same thing Angela does. She thinks she has it all figured out and what's going on. But the thing is, the reason why I feel like Tasha wasn't rattled in that scene, like, she was like, oh, I'm here because of Angela doing stuff, but not the other stuff, is because she knows what is really going on. Mm-hmm. And Tyreek's involvement changes the game. And Blanca doesn't know that. So the things that she's trying to push are areas that Tasha's not tripping off of right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's not worried about that. She's worried about keeping you as far away as they can from Tyreek.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tasha has always been a G, in the sense of, like, she's very, we've always discussed this about the season. Yeah. And she won't even show you that you're getting the best of her. She's like thinking. You can see it on her face. She's always thinking. And
she did a little bit, but not to the point.
Right. Well, actually thought, as viewers, and I think that they set it up this way, that she was about to give up the ghost, because
I didn't think so.
Well, the way that they said it, because of the way that she was looking at, she was replaying, you know, Angela saying, we're not sleeping anymore, and she was replaying all of the different things. It was setting it up to make it seem like she was about to give it up. But then, you know, I think she handled herself well, because that's who Tasha is.
I totally agree, and when we talk about Tariq, I'm going to go in about what so great about Tasha and Ghost together. Mm-hmm. So we didn't think she was going to break. And then she blames Angela regarding all of this, because Tasha thinks this is all because they want you. She makes
it's true. Mm-hmm. No, what she said was absolute fact. Mm-hmm. They are, because Angela showed up to the site. She found the bullet. Then she didn't want to acknowledge that she was really there. So because Angela was doing too much, trying to get Ghost and take everybody down, she has some things stirred up. I think what is to everyone's advantage right now is, one, they destroyed the gun, right? Mm-hmm. They said that they dismantled wherever it is. And there's no body. So there's a lot of evidence that's built up, but it's all circumstantial. Mm-hmm. Bad for Angela, but no concrete proof.
Mm-hmm. So Tasha lied, and she threw Silver's name in the mix, says that.
So glad. So happy about that.
And so she said, so when they were all at the penthouse, she says that she's going to get Silver to lie, and Ghost asks how, and she says, because he loves me. He loves me more than you ever did. Girl,
Bam,
please.
Listen, I'm not Tasha. Hold up, Bam. Okay, you need to put some bass in your voice when you say that. That was a drop the mic kind of moment.
Right, because Ghost was...
That was the moment of the episode. I've been waiting for this. I thought it was going to be the mom, but I just loved that part. Not because... Hold on, let me also make it clear. It's not because Tasha was able to be like, he loves me, like all of that. I was just like, good, Silver. Now Ghost knows that he's on to you, and he's about to get that ass. Somehow he's going to get that ass. So I was happy about that.
I just think it showed, once again, Ghost, like, just how far out the loop he is. Mm-hmm. And you were sitting here thinking Tasha's still mourning over you and Angela and worried about that and all these things. And it's like, no, she's off on her own thing, protecting the family.
You think Ghost was mourning that he thought Tasha was...
When I say mourning, that's probably a poor choice of words. What I mean is that in Ghost's mind, Tasha wants him. She's bitter about him and Angela still. She kind of can't get past the fact of that, plus everything that else has happened. So
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I think that it's more so just things. I don't think he's even thinking that Tasha still wants him. I think that he's just like, it is what it is. Everybody's out doing whatever. Yeah. And just that things are slipping through his fingers. Mm-hmm. That's what's surprising to me, because Ghost doesn't normally let things slip through his fingers. Yeah. But he's been just dropping the ball in all kinds of ways. And he was so confused, more than hurt. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't even angry, so to speak. He was confused. If you saw that shot with him and Tasha, or him and Angie, just the backs of them, and they're looking at Tasha, they're literally like, what? Huh? What just happened? You know what I'm saying?
He was completely confused. For some people, it was a great moment when she dropped that mic, but let's just be clear that whether if it's a man or woman in that situation, you say things out of your emotions to get a reaction out of the other person, and that's all that was. Tasha is in her feelings.
I felt like it was an aha moment. Like, you think you've had this under control. You think that, you know, all of this thing. Let me let you know. No.
So then, okay. So now let's go to Silver. As far as I can recall, Silver thinks that Tasha is lying.
To protect him.
To protect. And so now he's done. How does she think that she's going to get Silver to lie for her?
Because she's right. Silver actually does still love her. You know?
And for her protection. He's not going to want to do it.
But how is he going to do that when he is so... He's such a cluck that he is fixated. All he cares about is taking James down and getting the woman. Mm-hmm. How is this going to... what's you guys' take? What do
because
you think
there is right now... It's still Tasha's gun. Mm-hmm. It's registered to Tasha. There is nothing connecting James to that gun other than he lives in the house. Mm-hmm. So if you're going for who you can probably prove it could go either way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So Tasha will get dragged in the mud for them to get to James. So in order for that... I'm sorry, Robin.
No, you're good.
In order for them not to happen, he would have to protect her, maybe.
And the other thing is, remember, it wasn't like he was done with Tasha. He said, you let me know. Basically, he left it in her court. He was just like, whether you want to be, I forgot the words that he used, but he was like, you let me know. So it was like, I'm taking a break, but you just let me know if you want me to, like, if you want to tell the truth or whatever.
So then does that mean she's going to have to change her story and say, and will she have to say Tariq actually did the killing? Because he's not falling for the fact that he thinks that Tasha did the killing. And so if she says that it's Ghost, then
I don't think that she's going to. The point is, he's not falling for it, but she can stick with her story that I did it distraught over Raina.
Okay.
Help me and protect me.
Okay. Got it. And then the final thing before we move on, I wrote in my notes, is Ghost and Angela stupid for trying to start over but try and make it right this time around, saying that if we make this work, Tasha has to know the truth? Am I the one who just thought, are y'all
they're like
crazy
living in La La Land? It kind of is La La Land, but you know, the old romantic in me says
Robin
says I'm all for true love, and I still go back to, you know, them being each other's first loves and things like that. So I still go back to that, and a part of me roots for that. But it's in shambles, so I don't necessarily think that it will work.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to work. I think the approach is right. If we start over, we're going to be completely honest and try and make a fresh start. But the reality is that this situation probably won't be able to flourish.
Okay, so now Sax is digging through files in the basement with the help of a lady by the name of Stacy. And so he grabs the files that Angela got rid of regarding Raymond Jones. After the questioning of Tasha went bad, Tamika now is ready to throw in the towel until Cooper Sax finds records that the bullet Angela found in the wall matches Tasha's gun and that Angela buried the records. Mock then also says that the audit stopped before they got anything on St. Patrick, but it looks like something as shady is going on with Councilman Tate. Angela's in deep shit.
Can somebody explain to me what happened right there, how they were able to get the ballistics from the gun off of Tate? Pulling up a thing on tape.
No.
Separate things.
It was a separate thing. So, John Mock, first of all, he's a G because he don't give a F this season.
Right.
But he was coming in to inform them that the audit has basically gone bad and that he was throwing that information in, not knowing that Cooper Sax just busted Angela.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just two things.
Okay, they were just two. Okay, got it. Okay.
So,
I mean, Angela's in trouble, but again, the saving grace, the thing that she's in trouble because of all her logins and the thing with D Gaines, and she's caught up. The problem that the prosecutors will have is right now they have some evidence, but it's all circumstantial. Mm-hmm. They're going to need something concrete. A body, you know what I mean? They don't have these things. Tasha and Ghost right now, aren't they each other's alibis for the night in question that Ray Ray died? So there's other things that they're going to have to fill in the middle. And I don't know how far they're going to get, because I feel like what's going on with the Jimenez and Jason and all of that is going to blow up as a side thing that's going to swing certain things. But Angela's in trouble because they're on to her. They just can't prove it.
They can't prove it. But the fact that, well, so Donovan is going to have to come into place, because Donovan's going to have to come into place now. I noticed his reaction when Blanca walked in, which is why I wonder why he didn't go and tell Angela what was going on. But then he also did tell Tamika what was going on. So maybe
that's CYA. Because he knows something's up, I feel like, but he's not sure, so he's trying to protect himself, but not get too far deep into whatever Angela has going on.
Right. Well, if you guys remember, I guess it was season one, or not season one, but episode one or two, where I said that I think Donovan is going to, he's going to be Angela's saving grace within that office. I think that he's going to tell her some stuff. But, you know, at first I was questioning that, because he did rat her out. You know, he did go to Tamika and tell, you know, her that he has something to explain to her or whatever. But something is going to unfold there. And so, yeah.
And I also think that it's, you know, Angela understood when Tasha came back and said, they're looking at you. It clicked to Angela, too, because of the high level things that is happening. So she knows that she's in hot water, but she doesn't know to what capacity and which way.
So is that, do you think that's where Steve Tampio is going to come in? Because she did say that there's a,
Someone here, and I can't even find it, but someone in the chat room actually did mention that they think Steve is going to be the one to help Angela out, because, I mean, it's the right connection. They already have a connection. He's higher up. We already know that he's high above everyone's pay grade, and so that he's sort of a fixer guy. And so he might come in help her out.
And he is in the season finale.
Yes, which is, you know, says a lot.
Yeah.
And then one other thing is, did you take anything in regards to Mock now saying that there's some shady stuff going on with Council Take? Mock does not let anything get over his eyes. So now he's going to, I believe John Mock is now going to get involved with Councilman Tate.
And we're going to see what Councilman Tate is on, because also when Ghost apologized, he was like, I felt like he wanted to say, you know, Ninja, you know, I'm not buying. Like he said, I'm not buying it. But, you know, and he's asking Dre questions like, so Ghost said you sold drugs. And he didn't seem shocked or just, so we're gonna find out, I feel like, what Councilman Tate is really about.
Okay, so John Mock goes after Proctor's wife Lindsay and gets her to snitch on whether he is still involved, if he is still involved in family drug dealings. And so, like I said, John Mock is lethal because he is trying to take everybody down. So my question for you guys regarding Proctor's wife Lindsay, is she over it? Is she over her head? Over her head? I mean, she's been on drugs for 8 years and she's only been on for 42 days. So
she gets on my nerves.
Okay,
she just causes problems. Yeah.
Okay. So next, Ghost tells Proctor the hypothetically what's going on. So he tells his cousin Benny, "Will this come back to hunt Ghost?"
Shout out to Dominic. Oh my God! Thank you. Shout out to Dominic. I loved him in The Wire. I was so happy when I saw him. Yes.
Okay. Because I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen The Wire, but I just. Don't take my black card. Somebody gave me the DVD. And I'm going to start watching
it. You should, because it's one of the best shows ever made.
I literally started watching it about 4 o'clock this morning. I'm on the first episode. So.
Oh, there you go. There you have it.
So.
But I'll come over and watch some episodes too. Yeah.
I'm excited about his addition to the cast. I hope we get to see more of him, because
I don't know if he's going to be added to the cast or not, but you know, hopefully so.
At least for a couple episodes, I feel like you don't place an actor like that and bring up, you know, bring us to where his world is without him. Something about that life coming into play at some point.
Because I hope so.
We keep talking about Proctor's past and what they used to do and stuff like that. And that is relevant to what's going on right now some type of way. Because didn't Richard just said, everything has a meaning.
Everything absolutely has a meaning. And then I think we all agree that was a stupid thing for him to do by putting the drug in the, like, why didn't he get Ghost or someone to drug her? I'm sorry, I just...
Because he's not... He's
a drugger.
Listen.
We don't do that, Bam.
In TV world, it's fine. In the real world, no, that's effed up.
Well,
but TV world, like, he should have...
He's going back to his old patterns.
Well, remember Ghost told him no, too. Yeah. Ghost didn't want to have any parts of that because of his new soul.
Tommy.
And plus...
Yeah, he wanted to.
Well, but Proctor's scared of Tommy. He doesn't want to have to deal any more business with Tommy than he has to. I also think that this is how he's handled her before. Remember, we first got introduced to Proctor because he was buying drugs to keep her happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, keep her kind of at bay. So I think that that's what he's used to doing because that's what's worked before. We don't know how serious she is this time.
But, I mean, with 42 days, I mean, at some point, I'm sure she's going to...
Relapse?
Yeah.
45 days.
Okay, 45 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So Teresi confronts John Mock and Cooper Sacks about the audit. He's like, are you trying to kill me? They trace this back to me. I'm dead in a second. Mock says, yeah, so we don't really care as long as we get our guy.
So Mock shouldn't have said that. You should at least act concerned because Teresi is still who he is. And that's why, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead slightly. That's why I think that Sammy, they already had, you know, were trying to make some money, but that's why I think the thing with Sammy and the, you know, the ramen noodles inside the jail, I think Terezi's going harder with that. And this might be some of the relationship breakdown that Courtney mentioned last week that we're seeing.
And with that being said, with John and Cooper Sacks seeming to not give an F, I wonder... Will Teresi then flip on them because they clearly don't have they don't have pure intentions for him. They're not looking.
Well, that might have something to do with it. Like, you know, I thought that it was going to be like a one job type of thing, like a one situation. I tell you, I ratted you out, Tommy, and then that's over with. But from what it looks like, he has a continuous, you know, thing that they're asking of him to continue to give them information. But you know what? Just on a side note, Teresi lost a lot of power in my eyes when that whole thing happened with Vincent, when they were about to do the execution style with Tommy and Sammy. It just let me know how disposable he was. I mean, of course they call each other family and all that, but he lost power. I thought he was more, you know, of a big dog than what it was shown. So I don't know.
It's the old era, you know.
Why did Tommy keep Teresi around when Ghost told him not to?
Daddy issues. What do you mean? It's his family. He's run. What did he say to Tariq last week? Tommy knows he's in trouble. I'm sorry. I just been jumping in. But
no, good,
Tommy
good.
Knows he's in trouble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's trying to get something going. So, and I think that there's that, you know, everybody, like Kanan said, it's like a new puppy.
I think it's one of those things, and I'm going back to it, why I don't think Ghost is selfish. It's one of those things where Tommy is a little brother, and because he thinks that Ghost is being selfish, he's actually being selfish because he's not thinking about their McDonald's system that they have. He's now into his feelings, just like Tasha is into her feelings, and they're not thinking about the system.
Well, I also think that Tommy is really, really thinking about how much he owes to his dad now because he didn't kill me. Remember, it's basically like, I can really trust this dude now. He can stay for anything, which I think is a huge mistake. Because it just is.
Final question. So Ghost is mad. Tommy can't push drugs through Ghost. So Teresi suggests they do what they did in jail and they push the products with the ramen noodles. Teresi says Sammy is in. So with Sammy being in, being that Sammy literally wanted to slice Tommy's throat, do you guys think that this should be a warning to open Tommy's eyes? Or will Ghost save him? Will it be Mrs. Egan or will it be both? Because Tommy is on a slippery slope.
This is looking like Tommy's demise.
Yeah,
it saddens my heart, but.
Okay, well let's continue. Go. So Tommy plants the tracker on Dre and Dre's car. He texts Angie and says, "Turn it on, J-Lo." Angie then follows them and calls Tommy, who tells them that the car is inside. And so we see the truck of the wholesale flowers enter the building. Tommy says, never call again. Then she snaps pictures of Diego, Arturo, Spanky, 2-Bit as they stand outside. So do you think with her now following Andre's tracker. Do you think that this is going to help save her ass from what she's got into, or do you think it's going to make it worse?
I think that it's going to help because it's going to throw chaos into the mix because mm-hmm. it's going to be, we thought Tommy was ghost and then we thought James was ghost, but now there's this other guy in there and he's doing something with big drug deals. So it gives them a moving target from that perspective, and something I feel like for Angela to say, no, you guys thought that this was happening over here. No, I'm really trying to take down this big cartel, and it just plausible deniability, I feel like it gives her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Come through, big words. Angela has a knack for in a bunch of mess doing something really big that saves her, finding out something big or landing some big deal or something like that. So I'm not sure if this is what's happening with her right now, but she just has that tendency. Her storyline has that tendency, but I don't know.
Okay, so Alicia tells Dre she knows how he thinks. He plays both sides, and to get someone else to kill her brother. So Ghost makes peace with Andre, and they both agree to kill other people. So
help me. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And so, you have any thoughts about that?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I'm just wondering how it's going to turn out. So, can they really trust each other?
So okay, that's a good point. Now, is Alicia testing Dre, or does she really want her brother to die?
Well, we know that she wants her brother to die. Mm-hmm. Just even from the conversation that she had with Steve in the when she was being interrogated by him, because she thinks he's a liability at this point.
And he is,
Okay, agree. So Spanky tells 2-Bit and Andre they need to kiss and make up. Andre was way too emotional with Crystal Ball in pursuit of taking over his job. So this whole not speaking Spanish thing is really getting to Dre. Mm-hmm. Spanky says, bruh, just get a translation app.
Hilarious. Spanky's little two-liners are funny.
And then 2-Bit says, why don't we just go to Arturo, because Arturo is the one who speaks Spanish, and then we can use him. I just want to give a mention to 2-Bit's outfit. Did you see what he had on? So he had on this jacket, but it was puffy in the back and it was red, and then in the front it was denim with green leather.
Come on, he a corner boy.
And then the puff jacket in the back was,
he might be shopping, what is that, Fordham Rose? Something like that.
So Dre then goes to Arturo, and he blabs everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, he goes and says that Angela is the one, through his cousin Uriel, that that Angela used to go and spy, and she would dress as a maid to check on people. So
not Angela.
I'm sorry, Alicia. So she was the one that probably planted the gun. So then we go forward to Arturo then telling Alicia, and as we called it, I told Arturo character to himself that he'd be dead by episode 6.
For sure.
I think the bigger problem is, too, is that he was talking too much, and he mentioned, well, the connect's in jail. Yeah. Nobody's told you that, dude. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because 2-Bit did say, well, how did he know? Yeah.
We just found out. Yeah. Right. So, he was dispensable, but
so they burned that. They burned him. Poor thing. Anything else before we go to Kane and Tariq? Any comments before we go into the last topic?
Tons of comments, but I'll come back for that when I find some good ones.
Okay, cool. So hit it, Joe.
So Kanan, Tariq, so we know that Tariq is on the path to being Ghost 2.0 or 3.0, actually, if you know. Dre is,
Courtney broke that down to
that
us
was
last
Courtney,
week.
Yeah. So obviously, Tariq is privileged. He's not going to be a corner boy selling drugs how Ghost did and Tommy did it. So now he's, selling to his rich friends at school, and that's how it's going to start, and he's never coming back. I don't think that he's going to be like Kanan's trigger boy or his little, sidekick like that. I think that Kanan is taking him under his wing in a way that he wished that Sean would have been. Mm-hmm. I think so. We'll see that happen. But Tariq is definitely, I think he's going to stay in school. We saw him studying.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good cover for him, and that's how we'll see his storyline as far as his descent into the world of crime further develops.
Mm-hmm. Well, Courtney, you know, because we didn't have a lot of time, so we were able to talk to Courtney, Courtney Kemp, the creator, after we wrapped last week. And so, as Jill was saying, she says that Andre is a ghost 2.0, and that Tariq is ghost point is ghost 3.0.
Yeah.
And you have to remember that he is
ghost son.
Son and Tasha.
Yeah.
So he is actually going to be better than ghost will ever be, because that's normally what happens with you know, genetics. You know, your kids become better than you.
And he's been exposed to privilege. So he has the benefit of a different sort of education, a different set of rules. He'll know how to maneuver in the places that Ghost actually wants to be.
And as Ghost says, you know, I've always wanted a better life for you. And Tariq has had a better life, so he's going to be able to use his better life that he has to be able to be a better drug dealer than Ghost and Tasha have ever been.
For sure. I mean, one of the prime examples of how he utilized every single piece of knowledge that he has was in the car when the security stopped him. I mean, it was just brilliant in the sense of we've never even seen Tariq talk, you know, at home. I mean, that just lets you know how much he's observing and how what he has, what he's made of, you know, basically to be able to come up off the top like that with the lies of the paper, his teacher was there, and then to start, you know, his asthma attacks.
Yeah, spitting out the topic, noticing that the trunk was hanging low, that there's whatever in there.
So with so with Kanan killing Double Deuce in his house, not knowing if there's cameras, I'm just wondering, you know, is this going to be the downfall? On the flip of that, will this, being that Kanan killed Trigger and the other guys, will he work with him in order to take down the Italians and Jason? So I'm just wondering which way is it going in regards to now Kanan and Tariq.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Jill said is pretty much sums it up, like what he wished that he could have had with his own son. Mm-hmm. And what Ghost had with his son, I think, is just a mirror reflection of what Kanan and Tariq are building up. And there's some scenes, you know, a preview that where Tariq was talking about he's ready to, you know, what did he say?
He Y'all remember he said? In the previews, we haven't seen the episode yet.
Right, but just said, that one shot.
He said something like, I'm ready.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And the way he looked at the body when he killed, like, he wasn't moved.
Yeah, he started
shook.
Throwing the money up as he was walking. Just, I was like, oh, okay, this dude is... He's
ready.
Yeah,
he's ready. And then Ghost calls and leaves Tariq a message apologizing. So again, Ghost has his newborn soul. So he apologized to Angela. He apologized to Tasha. He's made peace with Andre. He's made peace with Tate. Last final. Do you feel it was sincere, his apology?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely sincere. And, you know, I definitely want for the writers, they're just doing such an incredible job really taking us on this emotional journey of ghosts. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that we're wanting the best for him. And unfortunately, it looks like he's already lost Tariq.
It's the same thing that you were saying about with Tasha. It's a little too late.
Yeah.
And the fact that Tariq is still just saying, tell me the truth, tell me the truth. And he's like, well, when you get a little bit older, I'll let you know. And he keeps putting it off. And it's like Tariq is saying. So I think that's why even more he's just pushing him away.
I do think eventually they will eventually bond, because Ghost is going to have to bail him out after he kills Dre. I lied. There's one other thing. Tariq tells Kanan that he killed Raymond Jones.
I don't know what that is going to mean.
That's the young part of you think you know everything, but no, you don't know everything.
Yeah.
Ghost and Tasha is going to have to come to that boy's rescue, because you were telling Kanan way too much information.
Yeah. What do you think Kanan's going to do with it as a mini prediction really quick? And then, you know,
I'm not sure. But as you see, Kanan is he has his own alliance with himself.
clearly,
you know, because he don't have any friends. So I don't know what he's going to do with it, but before we go into predictions, do you want to give any shout outs to anyone?
There's everybody in
just
here.
Just say hi. Just say hi.
What's up to Brownie and Eddie and Mike and Zias B? What's up to ATMFX and Miss Lily? Y'all be holding us down, and they are steadily in here. Marcus
Bevel.
Yeah, Marcus, Omni Smith. I mean, there's so many of you guys. Crowdfund. We appreciate you all. Yeah, Redala, Linda Gaston. Hello. We see you, Joy. Thank you guys for holding us down, and thank you for these comments. Now, what you can do is leave these comments when we leave the live chat and go post under our actual episode.
Yeah, because what happens is the comments that's in the live chat, it doesn't make the actual comments on the YouTube page.
Right. They just all disappear. So we can't have the same discussion that we're having, you guys, when this show is over. It won't translate over into our YouTube channel. So sometimes there's a ton of comments in here, and I wish that we can respond back. But if you don't mind, when we are done, go ahead and make a mention in the YouTube.
And final, let's go into some quick predictions, and then we will wrap this up.
I am actually going to save my predictions for Twitter. So, Jill, it's on you.
So, my predictions are just that somebody's going to die soon. We get more information about what's really going on with Tate. And I'm praying for you, Tommy.
I'm really excited now that John Mock is going to stick his nose into Councilman Tate's business because, you know, Councilman Tate wants to run for governor.
Yep. Yeah.
With John Tate on the trail now, I'm not really sure how that's going to go. And then I also just wonder with him asking, with Councilman Tate asking Dre in regards to like the drug selling and some of the other stuff. Then you have Ghost and Andre forming alliances to kill other people for each other. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, will they eventually have to just take Tate out because he's a problem?
Quite possibly. I'm also wondering how it's going to how Dre is going to take out Jason. Mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about him and Diego right now, but how is he going to take out Jason if that's now his new assignment per Ghost?
Yeah. And then Silver, I think it's going down.
Okay, it's about to come down on Silver because he's messing with the client. You know what I'm saying? That already tells you that. What was the question that Proctor asked him? Had you ever
crossed the line?
Yeah.
And he said no.
Yeah, so that's why he's got to get his hands dirty now.
And you know, I do wonder. And then we're wrapping. I do wonder with Ghost now finding out what's happening. You know, everyone thinks that. Because we want to see the old Ghost, we think that Ghost may actually, you know, whoop his ass. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll flip it like Tasha and say, keep effing her.
Could be. It's going to be good.
I'm really curious to see how this is going to go. But in the meantime, man, we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in, whether if you're watching or listening. We thank you so much. Let everyone know where you guys can be found on social media.
Well, you guys can always find me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms. But for real, y'all go. Robin Ayers. Follow me.
And you also travel, I'm just saying.
I be out there in them streets, though, man.
But you travel, like, travel.
I do. I'm actually going to D.C. Coming up soon. If there's anybody in D.C., come holla at your girl. And you can find out where on my Instagram and Twitter, at Robin Ayers.
See, there you go. I'm at Stiletto Jill everywhere. Same thing. I'm not traveling anytime soon, but just hit me up. Yeah. We can chat.
You can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. Again, we want to thank our special guest, Richard Riker, who plays Steve Tampio. And we want to thank you guys again because without you guys supporting us, we would not be here. We just want to.
Absolutely.
We're very appreciative and we're thankful to all the guests. We're thankful to the people in the chat room, to social media. We saw as many as comments that you guys posted last week.
Yeah.
And thank you for all of the support. And we will see you guys next week with some more. Big guess.
Woohoo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.